Hello, this is Community Exchange, a presentation of ComFest Radio on the Internet Radio Dial. This program is brought to you by ComFest Radio, sponsored by ComFest Global Community Film Festival. Community Exchange will be a continuing discussion of topics related to community government, community management, and community financial management. These topics of discussion are critical to communities for one very important reason. Community financing is reaching a crisis state. Communities do not have enough money to manage all their responsibilities. If we can't find better ways of managing our communities, there is a possibility that many communities will go bankrupt. Hi, my name is Max Moore. I'm here today with Norm Hart. We'll be introducing Norm later and talking about these subjects. But for now, I just want to give a little more introduction to the subject of community municipal financing. The problem is that community governments are underfunded. Federal governments, on the other hand, are overfunded. Let me say this another way. Federal governments are overfunded and municipal governments are underfunded. I'm sure that's clear now. Until this imbalance in government funding is corrected, municipalities will continue to experience financial difficulties. To solve these problems, municipal governments need to negotiate with the federal government for a better financial deal for communities. But it could take years for federal government to give communities the respect and the financing that municipalities need. We, the people, can't wait for the federal government to do the right thing. We need to find ways right now to help our communities get through this crisis of municipal underfunding. This is why we are bringing you this radio program. With these community exchange broadcasts, we will discuss things that communities can do right now to improve the financial situation of the communities where we live. In these discussions, we will explore barter exchange systems, community banks, community bonds, community investments, and alternative economic systems which communities can use to improve their financial situation. The first topic that I want to talk about is community banking. Just as the federal government receives billions of tax dollars from federally regulated banks, communities also receive revenues from the work done by community-funded banks. But we know more about the bigger federal banks than we know about small local banks. And yet, small banks and community banks are the backbone of the economy for our communities. It's clear that community banks can be part of the solution for improving the financial situation in our communities. But what is a community bank? And how does it work for the benefit of a community? Community banks exist around the world, in every country, and in many forms. In the United States, for example, a community bank is generally considered as any small bank. By U.S. standards, a community bank is any bank which is managing less than $1 billion. By this definition, there are more than 5,000 community banks in the United States, and they are all local, providing services in the communities where they are located. Here's one interesting fact about community banks. In the United States, community banks manage only 20% of the national money supply, but they manage to do this by making 60% of all the loans in the entire country. In other words, small banks offering local loans make 60% of the loans in the country by using only 20% of the money. Big banks, on the other hand, have more money, but local banks serve more people. Small businesses, are largely financed by small banks. Big banks, on the other hand, loan most of their money to large multinational companies. Just as there is an alliance between big banks and big business, there is an equally powerful alliance between local banks and small businesses. Here's how it works. When you deposit money as savings in a branch office of a big bank, your money doesn't stay in the community. Money invested in a big bank branch office is transferred to a financial headquarters in Toronto or New York or London or Singapore, where all the small loans that are centralized are pooled and given out as large loans to very large multinational corporations. On the other hand, if you open a savings account in a small bank or a credit union or a local trust company, your money stays in your community. Money that is managed by small banks and community banks is loaned to local businesses and invested in local mortgages. The bottom line is this: if you want to have local prosperity and see your local real estate values increase, save your money in a local bank. You can probably see where this discussion is going. Small banks are better for developing local businesses. Community banks create more prosperous communities. So, if community banks can make communities wealthier, why do so many people put their money into big banks that mostly loan to big multinational corporations? The main reason is that people are unaware of the important role of community banks in creating prosperous communities. Another reason people save their money in big banks is because we are often unaware of the alternatives to the standard big banking system. And yet, there are many alternatives. Today, we are going to discuss one alternative financial exchange system. This alternative exchange system that we are going to discuss today is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new development in the financial world, and I'm going to ask Norm Hart to join me now. Norm has been researching this topic of Bitcoin. I should say that Norm Hart is not a banker. He is a businessman, has a lot of experience in the business world, and he understands the financial system as well as any of us who try to understand what's going on. He's been doing research on Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is a brand new phenomenon. It's changing every day. The facts that we are going to unveil today about Bitcoin might be superseded by new developments next month. But as of right now, this is what we know about Bitcoin. Norm Hart, welcome to the discussion.
Yeah, well, good afternoon, Max, and good afternoon, listeners. So, yeah, what I've discovered about Bitcoin over the last probably month since I heard about it. Where did I hear about it? It was on Facebook. Somebody had posted something about it from the Globe and Mail, and I was interested, of course, because, the word itself, Bitcoin, has got some attraction. So I looked up on the internet, the Globe and Mail site, and checked out what the Bitcoin is and see that it's apparently the fastest growing currency in the world. Well, certainly in Europe. It got created in 2009. Apparently it's a decentralized digital currency. I believe it came from England or somewhere in Europe. And it's, to me, from what I see, it's got several layers to it. It's over the internet. It's something that you have to do. It's nothing that you have in your hand. It's not like a piece of gold or a coin itself. It's all done digitally, and I feel that right there, you only have to pull the plug and where's your money kind of thing. That's how I think about it. Further investigation, I see you have to be signed up You go to their website and sign up, and you become a miner, as in coal or gold or whatever, a miner, and you start digging for your digital money. You're assigned a wallet where you put your money, and now this works, it appears to me, for everybody, that if there's more money in there, then there's more interest that gets shared with each unit that you buy to put in your wallet. And it's throughout Europe at the moment, and it seems to be working. People are putting signs on their website saying, we accept Bitcoin, and people are saying, well, okay, I've got a Bitcoin account, and my Bitcoin digit money is increasing every day, apparently. It started off at $9, and now apparently it's $200. It may be more today. I don't know.
Well, let me ask a question, Norm. So you're saying that Bitcoins are mostly in Europe at this point. Are they spreading into North America as well?
As we talk. Ah. As we talk about it, it's passing. I don't know if we're going to accept it, because to me, as I say, it feels like a video game of some sort, because there's several layers to it.
Well, tell us about these layers. First of all, you have to join Bitcoin.
Well,
don't
this
you?
Is it. You see, you get involved with it, and it appears to me, because you're a miner and you're mining for money to put into your digital account. You're mining on companies that are on the internet so that they can do the business with you. You have to be on the internet all day long to make this work. But on the other hand, if you have all these miners working, because some will work all day long, then your investment, it appears, will increase.
Well, the mining of Bitcoins, is that a bit like playing with stock exchange?
Yeah, it's probably.
Because I've heard that Bitcoin started out with a value of something like $15.
Well, it was $9, actually.
$9 was where it started.
That was a low.
And that's what a Bitcoin was worth. But now the value of Bitcoins has risen to how much now?
Well, this is in billions of dollars. Millions of dollars,
But one Bitcoin is worth what? $100 or $200 at this point?
$200 now.
$200.
Over $200, probably $300, because these stats I got a couple of weeks ago. So I should have checked, actually, before I came on, because it would be interesting to see if they're still in business or whether they're still going.
So when you say they're mining Bitcoins to play that market, a bit like the stock market, this is what affects the value of Bitcoin, I suppose, to make the value go up and down.
Yeah.
But there's a second aspect of Bitcoin, and that is the aspect of digital exchange. If you and I have a financial transaction, I hire you to build a house for me, I owe you so much money, I can pay you in Bitcoin, is that correct?
That appears to be the way.
And you can accept my payment in Bitcoin, and then you can take those Bitcoins and exchange them into any national currency you want?
Either that, or have a wallet and watch your investment grow as other people use Bitcoin.
The Bitcoin as an investment is different from Bitcoin as a system of exchange, then?
Well, it appears at this time, if you get in early, you can do both. But I'm sure that there's a bubble here. I'm sure that there's going to be a bubble, and at some time somebody's going to say, hey, how can a Bitcoin be worth $1,000? I mean, where's my $1,000, But apparently you can spend this money to other people that use or show the acceptance of Bitcoin. What can I tell you? It's like everything else. It's like the internet. I mean, it started out, how it started out. Now you see where it is today. It's the same as anything, the telephone or even the currency that we're using today. You got to accept it. I picked up a new $20 bill and I felt it the other day, and I thought to myself, I wouldn't know if this is a forged one or not, because it's so new and we really haven't had time to except the recent one that was only out for a short while, and the one before that. So anyway, are we going to accept the Bitcoin? What do you think, Max?
Well, I heard a story about Bitcoin. It was on a CBC radio interview about a couple of weeks ago, and they interviewed a person in New York who owns a restaurant, and the restaurant has a sign on their wall saying that they will accept payment in Bitcoin. And the way that it was described, the restaurant owner was saying, they need an app for a cell phone. If the person doesn't have the app in their cell phone, the restaurant will supply the link to the app. They go, they join Bitcoin. Once the cell phone is linked up to the Bitcoin exchange system, the restaurant can then, you can tap your smartphone to the restaurant's payment Bitcoin payment system, and the restaurant receives payment. The advantage, this restaurant owner said, one big advantage is when they are paid in Bitcoin, they see the money showing up in their own bank account the following day, and that's a much faster payment system than they get with Visa or Interact system.
Do they get money in their bank, or do they get the digital in their wallet?
They get the digital Bitcoin payment in their bank account, in their wallet, I'm sorry. But they can then immediately take that digital payment in Bitcoin and convert it to American currency, because this was in New York. And this was another comment that was made, that if you don't trust Bitcoin at this point, you can do your financial exchanges and then the next day go out and change them to your national currency, because that's more reliable as a way of saving money. But Bitcoin apparently works very well as a system of exchange.
Well, I mean, recently, when I did a little bit of eBay, I used PayPal, and PayPal seemed to have been at that time a currency, a rate of exchange. You could use it over the internet, and you have an account. And there's several that I've encountered. Have you ever used PayPal at all?
PayPal is a wonderful system. In fact, that's a great analogy, isn't it? PayPal is a digital system of financial exchange. I guess I could ask you that question. What's the difference between PayPal as a digital system of exchange and Bitcoin as a digital system of exchange? Are they similar?
It appears to me that they could be, except that there is this fact that you become a miner, you have your own wallet, and you're able to have an investment, which is on a daily basis and apparently rising fast for some reason. And that's what I don't fathom. What are the other benefits? I have to see now. This is it. When you go, as I told you before, you've got these several layers. Well, I went to about two or three layers, and then they started to get kind of personal. So I didn't really want to go that personal with them, because I don't need a wallet through them, especially if, you know, the plug's going to be pulled before they get a chance to get here. So
these are interesting questions. We're talking about a brand new financial system, untested, unproven, but potentially revolutionary, as revolutionary as PayPal, perhaps. These are some of the questions that we have about Bitcoin, but it's just an example of the kinds of topics we'll be bringing up on Community Exchange, discussions of community financial systems and how to manage our communities better. And just want to say that this show is brought to you by ComFest Radio, and ComFest Radio is sponsored by ComFest Global Community Film Festival. We'll tell you more information about ComFest Global Community Film Festival later, but for now, let's get back to Bitcoin. So Norm, are you saying that you're a little leery of Bitcoin, but yet you're fascinated with this, but not fascinated enough to sign up and get a Bitcoin wallet?
Well, the only reason that I'm fascinated is because people are making a fuss of it. And it appears to be, if the Globe and Mail puts this article out and they have all these different journalists making these different comments about it, and they're serious comments too, and some of them can't understand it. Bitcoin surges, a digital currency that has become a global phenomenon, reached an all-time high today, topping 240.11 at one point.
240.11. Dollars. This is the value of one Bitcoin. So there you go, folks. If you have a Bitcoin in your digital wallet, it was worth $240 at that point.
That's for sure. And then What else? They said the difference is that instead of taking yours for that boom and bust process to happen, it's happening at an incredibly rapid pace, this particular currency. And as an investment, then they go in, what else do they say? It's a dollar bill lays claim to no string for future earnings, yet nobody says there's a dollar bubble because somebody's willing to give you a candy bar for one, he said. This is another journalist. I don't know where that came in. But what else?
Well, these are interesting. These are interesting comments on financial systems. But I just want to do a quick review of financial systems throughout history. There have been many financial systems that have developed into respectable financial systems but have had temporary difficulties. You know, there was the gold standard, the silver standard, the there was even the Dutch, what was it, the Dutch, you know, the tulip bulb boom of the 1600s, when Dutch tulip bulbs were considered a form of currency and they developed such a value, people started speculating on the value of Dutch tulip bulbs. And they developed a value which was apparently $1,000 more than their actual value.
Well, that's what gold did now, isn't it?
And the same happened with gold standard and silver standard.
But isn't gold going down now?
And every time one of these new standards of currency developed a problem, of course, there would be a boom and a bust kind of cycle. But everything but the tulip bulb seems to have come back in some form and continues on. Even national currencies, we've had the depression of the 1930s and the recession of that we're still in. And so every financial system develops problems at some point, and the booms and the busts have ways of working themselves out. PayPal hasn't experienced any terrible problems, though. And what if Bitcoin keeps developing as a system of financial exchange, and we weather the problems, and it becomes a new worldwide currency online that we can use to travel, for example, pay our bills?
You heard it here first on Comfest Radio.
You heard it here on Comfest Radio. That's right. Norm Hart reporting on this brand new development in international currency.
We'll keep you updated.
It's a very exciting possibility that we can have an online digital exchange system that we can use personally. I'm not sure about the sideline of investing in it and playing the stock market style. What is the value of a Bitcoin today kind of game? That's a gambling game, which I'm not too interested in. However, the idea of a financial exchange system is very interesting, and I'm wondering how this relates to our communities. If a community, for example, wanted to pay its bills and receive money through PayPal and or Bitcoin, I wonder how this would affect our community government. Any ideas on that, Norm?
I would say that if both establishments, PayPal and Bitcoin, they both are internet related, so it wouldn't take away too many jobs. No, that's for sure.
I'm just wondering about the potential of communities to use these new digital systems, and if there is any benefit to using them.
Well, right at this time, it's like it's definitely scratching the surface. You see,
scratching the surface of the future.
Yeah, and you really can't say that this is the way it's going to be, and let's get down to it, because it changes every week, it seems. So it's hard for people, especially people in the 50s, 60s, 70s. They don't know which way to turn. And right now, you see 70-year-olds walking around with smartphones, and it's funny. But they don't know how to use it. They're having lessons now. That's why I noticed TELUS has come up with their in their front window that they're giving lessons. iMac always did give lessons, but now they're pushing it as an advert because the technology is coming so fast and you don't know how to use it and apply it. You don't know what size smartphone to get. You're going to get a 5-inch, a 7-inch, a 10-inch. Mm-hmm. How big's your pocket, you know?
And do you want your smartphone to be your bank?
Exactly. You drop it and you smash the $1 million.
Well, these are some of the questions that we're all facing. Should we go forward into the future with these questionable new technologies? But then again, I'm a big fan of PayPal. Once they solve the bugs and work the bugs out of Bitcoin,
yeah,
I can see this being useful. I just don't know how exactly. But as a system of financial exchange, it has great potential. And for communities that are experiencing financial difficulties right now, I'm wondering if this might be an alternative to using the big national banks, which, well, as I said in the introduction, take the money out of our communities,
yeah,
and give the give large loans to large multinational companies.
Yeah, I think that what we have to do is, we have to make it easier for people. Definitely have to make it easier for people. But we have
maybe that's the key.
We have to find out more about this, though. We definitely have to find out what these fourth and fifth and sixth layers of this is.
Now, tell us again, what are the layers that you join as an individual?
Yeah, and then when it starts to get personal and they want your information, your personal information, mm-hmm, then that's when I don't necessarily at this time want to join up, but maybe out of curiosity, I might just do that, just to go through and see what and how far. And
people can join as individuals. Apparently, yeah, companies can join. Restaurants can accept payment in Bitcoin.
And they don't ask for money.
Now, how do we pay our taxes in Bitcoin?
Well, this is something that we have to research even deeper. And I didn't know how far I wanted to go.
This is another of the unknowns of Bitcoin.
I tell you, if it still keeps up on the surface and keeps bubbling, I'm going to have to research it more, because if it's going to come here to Canada, we're going to have to know about it, because it's going to hit you so fast. Mm-hmm. Just like the smartphones, you know, just like the new computers. Mm-hmm. You've got to be ready for it. So, okay, we'll keep you informed.
Mm-hmm.
Just as we're going to keep you informed about ConFest, ConFest Global Community Film Festival.
Tell us about ConFest.
Well, each year we present Making a Difference Awards, the MAD Awards, and they're bestowed upon filmmakers that best demonstrate a capacity for positively airing the social status quo. Exhibiting filmmakers receive gift packages, restaurant certificates, and invitations to all the ConFest festivals. Attending ConFest 2012, it was an excellent experience for some of our filmmakers, especially Esther Bukharov, who she spoke with us a few months ago. She had a film shown called Powerful as God, and it picked up a MADR award. And we're having these MADR awards in September, so keep listening and we'll tell you more about it. And that's ConFest Global Community Film Festival. You can learn more about us at confest.com.
Now spell that out, Norm. Confest.com.
ConFest.com.
That's ConFest. And the reason I say that, because that stands for what?
Well, it's
Community
Film.
Community Film Festival.
Yeah.
There we go. ConFest.com.
There you go.
And this community exchange discussion of our communities and how to improve the management of our communities has been brought to you by ConFest Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will join you again in, we don't know when the next broadcast will be, do we?
The next time.
In 2 weeks, I believe, will it be? Okay. We're going to be back, folks.